Thank you very much for this short interview, Mr. Masevo. We are really happy to have you here and to hear from Tanzania how to approach this colonial history, what you call the shared legacy. In your presentation, you mentioned some spatial segregation which took place in Tanzania. Can you please, because we relate much more with South Africa and those kinds of policies, can you tell me a little bit more about the story of this spatial segregation in Tanzania?
One of the major markers of German colonialism in Tanzania was racial segregative politics. The Germans created an urban planning system that recognized racial differences and divides in Tanzania. In fact, in cities such as Dar es Salaam, there were three levels of residential arrangements. The first was designed for the Germans, for the Europeans, and actually this was close to the ocean, to the Indian Ocean, so in beaches. Some of them included what today we call oyster bays. So it was reserved specifically and exclusively for the whites. Secondly, there was a special settlement arrangement for the Indians and Arabs, the second racial group, which are a little bit better, but not as well equipped in terms of infrastructures and security as the European settlement. And finally, based on the same racial arrangements, you had residential settlements for the Africans. Extremely congested, without important infrastructures. And these were rural, highly dense populated areas. And so it was a caste system that was organized according to race.
Okay, thank you very much. This is information which is not that much known in Germany, how this politics also had place in the city and how they divided people and put the native people at the
lowest level.
Can you give me a year until when were those policies put into place?
You know, German colonialism effectively and formally started in 1890 in Tanzania. And Dar es Salaam evolved to become the major capital city. And that's where these racial arrangements of residential patterns were most pronounced. And so, in fact, by about 1900, these segregative politics in the urban planning, in the settlement plans, including, you know, the different social services, like medical social services, were arranged within those particular staff. And so by the time German colonialism came to an end during the First World War, the pattern was firmly established. And in fact, the British, who came after the Germans, inherited that racial divide in the settlement patterns in Dar es Salaam. And so if you look at the way the Dar es Salaam city is arranged today, you can easily see the differences. For instance, between an area called Oyster Bay, which was a typical white settlement, and areas of Upanga and Kariakoo, which were actually residential spaces for the Indians and Arabs, and areas of Buguruni, you see, which were earmarked for the black Africans.
It's interesting that you talk about how this history is mirrored in the city, and somebody in the conference said, but normally tourists go to Africa to see nature, but nature tells a story also, right?
It does.
What about the possibilities of narrating, for example, the Maji-Maji situation through nature? I mean, through different specific places. Is it possible? What do you think that in a German mentality there is this division between nature and history, whether if we have a critical perspective, we do see the entanglements. Can you elaborate a little bit on that?
There is a way in which nature can come into equation in understanding, you know, the politics, for instance, of the Maji-Maji War. It is true that the immediate cause of the Maji-Maji War was forced cotton cultivation on the Africans. That was the most immediate and visible cause of the Maji-Maji Wars of resistances against German economic policies. But within this immediate cause, there were other manifestations which resulted from the intense pressure which German colonial imposition had created in Tanzania, including the reorganization of space and access to natural resources. For instance, with the German colonial imposition, there was this creation of nature reserves, of forest reserves, of areas for animals, you know, which eventually evolved into national parks. And Africans were not allowed, for instance, to collect firewood in certain forests, which were indigenous their rights. So there is a way in which struggles over natural resources defined the contours and relations that shaped the evolution of this particular stuff. Because, you know, colonialism was not simply about politics and economics. It was about how to access and take control of scarce resources and forest resources, land resources, water resources came into equation.
How do you see the work of the National Museum of Tanzania in the regard of shared legacy or the entanglements between natural history and social history?
One thing I think the National Museum of Tanzania needed to do is to be flexible and to adapt to changing a situation. In the recent past, there has been a very little addition to the museum collection in Tanzania. It appears that much of the collection which were inherited from the British colonial government and another collection that was organized in the 1960s and a little bit in the 1970s continue to be the major marker of thinking about Tanzanian history. And of course, there are two dimensions to that larger intellectual architecture in the National Museum arrangement. One is that narrative that really critically look at colonialism, especially both German and British colonialism, as an unfortunate phase in the evolution and creation of Tanzanian national identity. It's very clear. And the other narrative, which is quite distinct, is that which recognizes the evolution of African initiatives and resilience. Initiatives that first appears in a pre-colonial period, but which seems to have been frustrated during the colonial period, and which are now energized in the post-colonial moment. And so the narrative about the African history dimension of the Tanzanian is kind of characterized by ruptures. I think that the direction which need to be taken by the Tanzania National Museum is to move beyond the dichotomies, having two narratives, one of colonialists, another narratives of Tanzanians, to see can we have conversations of these two strands. And this would probably require a new organization and form in the way objects are arranged and in the way sense and meaning is infused on those stuff. That would be my response.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. My pleasure.